I'm pretty sure with the mic screeching this morning, anyone who assumed they could take a quick nap had to think otherwise. We are definitely thankful to the brothers for what they do behind there. And unknown to us, there are frequencies around us that tamper with what they do. So I appreciate what they do. I think you can all hear me. Is there anyone who cannot hear me this morning? All right, very good. Let's open with a word of prayer. Loving God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us one more privilege in our lives to worship you, to remember you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that through these elements this morning that we could remember how much a price you paid for us. But the body that was broken for us, the blood that was shed for us. But and because of that great love, we have the privilege to be in your presence this morning. Sitting here with the hope that you will come one day and take us to be with you for eternity. And Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that this morning we could be in your presence to sit and listen to your word as well. But as I speak here, Lord, ask that you will guide me, that you will control my tongue, that you will control me and speak what you want to be shared amongst each one of us this morning. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will all sit in your presence with a listening heart, a heart wanting to change. Lord, we pray, Lord, that there's anyone here that have still not accepted you as their own personal Savior this morning. Lord, may this be an opportunity, Lord, in their lives to know how much love the Father has for each one of us here. But as we sit in your presence, we ask you for your blessings. We ask and pray all this in the precious name of our dear Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. If I can have one of the brothers read out loud verses 1, 2, and 3. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Amen. In the previous chapter in Ephesians, one of the things we will read is the perspective of how we ought to deal with one another from the perspective of the body of Christ. So we've heard this many times before, that everyone sitting in here are part of a body of Christ. Each one of us have a unique role that we play in this assembly, in this church. Now, as we read chapter 4, we're going to very specifically talk about what is your role and what is your responsibility as children of God. Or in other words, what are your duties that we need to have in this assembly? And that's what we read in verses 2 and 3 very specifically. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14. Again, if one of the brothers can read it out loud, I would appreciate it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 14. So this is going to be the frame of the message this morning. Everything that you do may be done in love. As Christians, that is the foundation of what we do. And why is that the foundation? And that was represented this morning when we came to worship the Lord. The very reason that we were able to be here, the very reason that we are sitting here today, is because God loved us. God is love, and that was demonstrated by Him giving up His only begotten Son to die for us. And that's going to be the framework of us as Christians. What are our duties and responsibilities? Everything should be in love. Now, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. We're going to go through several references this morning. So as I give out references, brothers, if you would just go ahead and read it out loud for me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Amen. So the primary focus that we're going to have is our responsibilities, our duties, about how we ought to love one another is going to be the focus. But at the same time, the reference we read in 1 Peter, it is talking about what should be our approach towards the people around us, the people who may not have received the Lord as their own personal Savior. And that's what we read in 1 Peter chapter 2. Live good lives so that others may not find fault with us. So we are talking now about how you live your lives. How I live my life when I'm outside this circle. Because Christ loved us, but the people around us see us just like anyone else. Ordinary human beings. The way they see Christ is through our lives, through our actions. So we cannot ignore that fact at all. But my focus is going to be how you deal with one another, how I deal with you. That's going to be where we're going to focus today. 1 John chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Amen. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? The first responsibility that we have towards one another is love one another. That's the first message for each one of us here. How many of you sitting here can confidently say that I love every single brother and sister sitting here? You can raise your hands. Now, this is the part where all of you are supposed to raise your hands. The first responsibility, let me say that again, the first responsibility that we ought to have amongst one another is to love one another. If it doesn't start with that, there's no point in us moving forward. Loving one another starts with you, starts with me. And the only reason that I can give you as to why we should love one another is because Christ first loved us. And that should be the only reason why you and I should love one another. Like, there is no rich or poor sitting, there's no differentiation for God when He loved us. There's no difference in the color of your skin. There's no difference in which state or country you and I came from. His love was simple. And His love is, He loved every single person. And so therefore, when we are in His presence, when we are gathered together as children, and when we are together as one body of Christ, and when we are together as a church, the first and foremost responsibility that we have is love one another. Ask yourself that question. The first responsibility. Do you love the person that is sitting next to you? Do you love the person that is sitting in front of you? Do you love the person that is sitting behind you? Ask that question today. Has there been any reason for however long you've been in this church that you've hesitated to show love to that brother or sister? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. How did Christ show that he loved his disciples? What was that one example that Christ showed that he truly loved his disciples and he did not care what it took to show that he loved them? One of those examples is Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. That is, in my opinion, the ultimate way to show that you care for someone, that you love them, because now you've put on yourself a servant's heart. The ground that we are working on is that we ought to love one another. The second responsibility that I want to talk about is serving one another. In order to serve one another is what we read in 1 Corinthians. What does that have to have? You should not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. A servant's heart cannot think evil. It should not be provoked. It's not about seeking anything that's on your own. You're there simply to serve. And Christ gave us that best example. He washed the feet of his disciples. How many of you think serving is a good job? It's a decent job. It is. How many of you think it is an exciting job, or it's a job that you want? From tomorrow, the elders say, we're going to wash the feet of everyone that's going to come in through this door. And they're going to caption it, serving one another. Now, how many of you and I would sit here and think that it is still a good job? It's difficult, isn't it? Sometimes We say we want to serve one another, but then there are certain things, there are certain jobs that are beneath us. Just like I asked you the question before, do you love everyone here? I want to ask you that question. Do you feel or do you think you have served one another? You've been in this church maybe for a month, maybe for a year, maybe for 15 years, or even some cases 25 years. Ask yourself that question this morning. Are you comfortable in serving one another? Is there anything that goes on in here in this church that you think is beneath you? That's the responsibility that God has given to us as Christians, as believers. Serve one another. There's so many practical ways you can serve one another. But I know, standing here myself, that there are times in my life, there have been examples in my life where I have hesitated because I thought, that's not for me. Let someone else do it. That's when pride is popping up. That's what puffs up. Ask yourself that question this morning. As your responsibility to one another, are you comfortable in serving one another? 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. Even so you, since you're zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. We talked about loving one another. We talked about serving one another. Now let's talk about edifying one another. It clearly says that your role and my role is edification. In simple terms, whatever you and I do, you should be building up that person next to you. You should be edifying that person next to you. And to start off with another question for each one of us. As you think about the last year that you spent here at this church, as you think about the times that you have interacted with the brothers and sisters here, and as the word says, since you're zealous for gifts, for the edification of the church, ask yourself that question this morning. Have I edified my brother and sister through my actions, through my words? We've asked the question, have we loved one another? We've asked the question, have we served one another? The question now that you're asking is, are you edifying one another? And that's a pretty serious question. When we talk, when we discuss amongst one another, when we have our own little gatherings, my question is, are we doing it for the edification of one another? Or are we doing something to destroy the relationship of someone else? Are you trying to show that you're better than the other person? What is your answer? Are you edifying one another? Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. So we talked about loving one another, serving one another, edifying one another, and now even more difficult, make peace with one another. If you thought loving one another was difficult, serving one another was difficult, or even edifying one another in all your actions and your words were difficult, now think about this. You and I are required to make peace. It says, if it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. In most cases, man does not like to be challenged. That's like what I call a defensive mechanism. It's almost like an animal instinct. Put up the defense really quick. Don't ever challenge one another. My question is, how can you live peaceably with everyone? If you love one another, if your heart is about service to one another, If your heart is about edifying one another, then you're able to live peaceably with one another. Whatever you do, the scripture says, live peaceably with one another. Now, does that mean there will not be any conflicts? Absolutely not. We'll be deceiving ourselves if we think there's not going to be any conflicts. We will always have conflicts. And when we have conflicts, the point that we have to be aware of and what we need to do is to ask the question, are we doing something to make peace, to resolve that conflict? Or are we adding fuel to the fire? If we come into any conflict, if we come into any situation with the heart that we love that person, if we come in with the mindset that I want to serve that person, if we come in with the mindset that I want to edify, I want to make sure this person is edified through my actions, then our response is going to be, yes, I'm here to resolve the conflict. I will do what it takes to make peace. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Also turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. We talked about edifying one another just a little bit. One of the things I want to bring back into attention is, therefore, comfort one another. Edify one another. Once you love one another, you're serving one another, and you're making peace with one another, comes this point of, as part of that edification, is comforting one another. It's easy for you and I to discourage one another. It's very simple. That's probably the easiest thing to do. But the question is, can you encourage one another? The question is, can you comfort one another? When we talk, when we discuss things, when we share amongst one another, when we share burdens amongst one another, do we ask ourselves the question, am I discouraging this person through my conversation? Am I edifying this person through my conversation? If that person is going through some difficulties or some troubles, the question is, am I being of comfort to this person? Is there anyone sitting here today that can confidently say, I have no trouble? I don't think so. I think everyone that is sitting here today can confidently say we have our own little troubles. We have trials. We have temptations. We have difficulties that each one of us are partakers of, that we have been assigned. Those are burdens that we carry. So my question to you is, if you love one another, and if you have the mindset of serving one another, if you have the mindset to build up one another and to encourage one another, when there is someone in our midst that is going through their difficulties and troubles, ask the question, am I being of comfort to that person? Or am I being a judge? Or am I being a discourager? The responsibility that you and I have is be of comfort to one another. That is part of that edification. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Also turn with me to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Amen. So all this while, what we've talked about is the responsibilities that we have towards one another. We talked about loving one another. We talked about serving one another. We talked about edifying one another. We discussed making peace with one another. And then we also talked about encouraging or comforting one another. The portion that we read in Matthew is a little more unique. It's the responsibilities that we have, not just with one another for the sake of loving. It's about damaged relationships. Everything is not going to be very nice all the time. Life is not perfect, not ever. And that's where the scripture comes back and says, you and I have responsibilities when we have strained relationships, when we have relationship issues. We have responsibilities to one another. If someone has something against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. That's the first step. The question to ask here this morning to yourself is, have you had a strained relationship with anyone in this assembly? Not even going outside the assembly. Have you had a strained or a damaged relationship with anyone that is present in this church, in this assembly? If the answer is yes, no matter how long it has been, no longer how long you've carried that burden upon yourself, I pray and I highly ask, recommend you that you take care of that issue. Just like the scripture says, go and tell the person, just between you and that person, discuss that. Bridge that relationship. And how do you go about doing it? You go to that person in love. You go to that person with the mindset of, I want to serve you. You go to that person with the mindset that I want to edify you. You go to that person with, I want to make peace. I want to resolve this conflict. That's how we fix damaged relationships. There's anyone here that has had that experience. Or if anyone here knows that you've unintentionally or intentionally sinned against another brother or another sister, pray about it. And I ask you, graciously go to that person and fix that relationship. The last portion that I want to read is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. So we laid the groundwork in the beginning about loving one another, about serving one another, about making peace with one another, and comforting or edifying one another. And then we talked about the importance or the responsibilities that you and I have with regard to fixing damaged relationships. And one of the most difficult parts, the most difficult responsibilities that we have is when sin happens. This portion says, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Sin lieth at the door. Sin knocketh at the door. There shouldn't be anyone sitting here boasting or filled with pride that sin will not have any power over you. Sin lieth at the door. So there is going to be a day when we might get caught up in that sin. Or we might have a brother or a sister or someone that's very dear to you caught up in sin. And when that day comes, that's the time it says, go to that person and restore that person with the spirit of gentleness. Oftentimes when sin happens, our first reaction is be judgmental about it. Our first reaction is, let's go find fault. Our first reaction could be that, oh, it's not me, so who cares? But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, sin lieth at the door. It might not be a burden that you have to carry today, but it is a burden for the church. So when there is sin happening, it becomes the responsibility of the church to address that sin. Going back to the days of the Israelites, when Achan sinned, it affected the entire camp. They could not proceed with that, with the people of Ai. They had to deal with it. So let me tell you that again. When sin happens, every one of us is held accountable. The church is held accountable. We cannot move forward. So therefore, the best thing for us to do is work towards restoring that person. Restoring with that spirit of gentleness. Sin can affect the entire church. When one person sins, the effects can be very high. The consequences equally high. But then every one of you sitting over here, including myself, have a personal responsibility to help with that situation, to pray for that person. Because remember, what is our groundwork? That we love one another. Remember that we said our responsibility is to serve one another. Remember we said one of our responsibility is to edify and build up one another. Remember that we said we have to comfort one another. And if you keep that in mind, we will have that spirit of gentleness to restore that person. Even though sin will have to be addressed, even though the church will have to take its stance, even though that responsibility that the elders have, it's a very painful responsibility, but remember, it has to be done. It has to be dealt with. But when it is dealt with, we do it with a heart of gentleness. That's the piece that I want for each one of us to remember. That we come together with that mind of gentleness. Believers, let me end this by saying, our responsibilities to one another, to love one another, to serve one another, to edify one another, to make peace with one another. to build up or comfort one another. At the same time, we have responsibilities towards one another when we have strained or damaged relationships. And last but not the least, we have a responsibility to confront sin. Let me end this by reading two verses. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. The next portion I'd like to read is James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22 reads, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." May these words be encouraging to each one of us. May it be edifying to one another. May it be an opportunity for us to look within ourselves to build up our church, to build up our love for one another. Because it is what the scripture tells us. And what the scripture said is, it is not burdensome. What He has told us, it is not burdensome. And He wants us to do it. He wants us to be doers of the word. May His name be glorified. Shall we close in prayer? Our loving Lord and our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the word that was shared. We thank You, Lord, for speaking to each one of us this morning. How we ought to love one another, just like You loved us. Lord, as we journey in this world, as Your pilgrims, help us, Lord, to remember how much You loved us. And help us, Lord, to show that same love to one another. So that the people around us can see how much of a difference this person makes. Let them see Christ's love through us. Pray, Lord, that as we interact with one another, as we have relationships with one another, may it be edified, may it be building up one another, may it be to comfort one another. And pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that has a strained relationship, may this be an opportunity for us to go back and ask forgiveness for one another, for our actions. And help us, Lord, to build up one another. Help us to make peace. And last but not the least, thank You, Lord, for giving us the word that talks about what to do with sin. Lord, pray, Lord, that You will enable us to be on the watch. Help us, Lord, to always remember sin lieth at the door. The evil one is always around us. Pray, Lord, that we will continue to have that burden to pray for each one of us here. Pray for our children. Pray for our brothers. Pray for our sisters, that we will live a life that is worthy of Your calling. But should we fall in sin, Lord, pray, Lord, that You will give us grace that we need to handle it. Grace that we need to approach that sin and that person with that spirit of gentleness. Lord, as we spend the rest of the day here, we ask You for Your blessings. We ask and pray all this in the precious name of our dear Lord and ever Savior, Jesus Christ.